Welcome to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. You're listening on EWTN Radio or St. Gabriel Radio. Beyond Damascus is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hey, friends, and welcome to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. And we're here today, and we're excited. This is Dan Dimattei, my good friend.
Up?
And this is Aaron Richards, my other good friend. And
good
I'm Brad Piron. I'll be your host here today. And we're actually finishing up our mission year. Our full-time missionaries just finished. Some of them just finished 2 years of service. The others finished 1 year of service. And we were sending off our second years in a graduation ceremony recently, and a conversation we were having is a conversation around self-gift. Like, it's just so cool to see young adults give 2 years of their life in service of the church, and that kind of like led us to thinking through this idea of self-gift, and that's what we're going to talk today about, a little bit about self-gift. But before we do that, Dan, you want to kick us off
in prayer? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift that you gave of yourself, the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the gift on the cross. Lord, we just pray that you would mold us into your image, that we would live like you, that we would love like you, that we would give like you. Lord, I pray that our life would be a resurrected victory through the Holy Spirit, but that we would also be united to you on the cross, that through our own death to self, we would experience life and abundance. Mm-hmm. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just a small topic today on self-gift. Like, not too many places that you could go with that, I'm sure.
Just tackling self-gift.
And it's also beautiful today. So I don't know. I think we could probably go for a while with this. But I think a good place to start might be just like when we look at just the church today, I think there's such a need in the church for people to gift themselves totally. You know, like I think, at least it was my experience, and I'm sure you guys can relate, that for a large portion of my life, my faith was just something I kind of gave a little bit to and planned on getting a lot out of. You know, like I'll give a little and I'll get a lot. But I don't know, when we look
not
at those
like
missionaries now,
right?
Not like the stock market right now. But no, I wonder just like, what do you guys think about that? When we look at the church, it does seem like what the church needs more now, maybe than ever, is people that give wholeheartedly and give of themselves fully.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about a vocations crisis in the church for what, 20 years? And and not just in the priesthood, but in religious life and in holy marriage, like what else is there besides the fact that our hearts, which are made to be given away, for whatever reason, like we're in the midst of a cultural shift right now where, that is becoming less and less natural. And I know we've seen it here at Damascus, even, you know, we have the best missionaries in the world, but, across the board with every missionary organization, we're struggling to find, you know, people who are ready to respond.
Yeah. It's funny. I wonder how much of it's just like postmodern thought, like hitting the church, right? Cause it used to be like the whole idea of like, I have one life to live, so I'm going to give myself to others. How can I give myself to others? How can I give myself to a worthy cause? And there was this turn where it's like, well, how can I get out things out of life? What's in it for me? And even like, you know, think about like YOLO, right? You only live once. In ancient days, they had that mindset of you only live once as well, but it was like, because you only live once, I want to live this life of insane sacrifice where I give myself for a noble cause. Now it's, well, you only live once, so I need to get as much hedonistic pleasure as possible in this one life that I have. And it's just interesting, the shift that's happened in the world has instead of the church influencing the world has now influenced the church. And you see the church, you almost have to reteach people what it means to be Christian. That when you bought into Christianity, you didn't buy into something that was just for you. Like, it's not about me and Jesus. You didn't buy into something that like, hey, I get my eternal salvation and my earthly comfort. Like, that wasn't Christianity. It's conforming myself, authentic Christianity, conforming myself to the life of Jesus.
It was in fact never easy.
Right. That like, and it is the priceless treasure is far greater than what I give, right? And so this great reward comes, but it comes through the death of self and the gift of self. And I think just that you notice in Christianity, the mindset has changed. Well, why don't you go to church? Well, I don't get anything out of it. Well, that's not why you ever started going to church. Like, liturgy is about giving. And so mm-hmm. It's the common thought of, I need to get something out of this in order for it to be authentic.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you guys both make a good point too. In the generation that we're in now, it does seem like there's been a shift where like the idea that I have one life to live is no longer, I'm going to give my life to the most worthy thing, but rather I'm going to see how many things I can attain, almost as if I've become the most worthy thing, you know? Wow, and I was actually given a talk to the missionaries towards the end of their year. And we talk a lot here at Damascus about deployment, like military deployment, but for missionaries that we're actually deploying you into the world with a specific mission. And deployment actually comes from the word meaning like to unfold. And it was interesting when I was like praying into that, I felt like the Lord was like highlighting the fact that there's so often that in our lives, instead of letting it unfold, we'd rather keep it folded up and live in potential instead of actually seeing what it really is. Like when I have a lot of different options on the table, when it's not unfolded and it's there, I can hypothesize that like, oh, I could do this, yeah, or I could do this, or I could do this. And that's kind of like generically exciting, but as it unfolds, it actually commits me to something.
Yeah.
And once I get committed to something, there's something I think in the generation now that doesn't feel as excited about that as it does about infinite potential. It's like, but potential doesn't do anything. It doesn't move the ball forward.
No fruit.
Like think about, yeah, even potential energy, potential. Kinetic energy, yeah, right? Like potential energy, great. There's
awesome.
A lot of
it
energy that could happen,
yeah.
But something has to move it, you know? Like, and I think that is,
well, that's a whole
gift.
Podcast on commitment, too.
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
yeah, that's
because
true.
There is so much, like, I think there's that fear of saying yes to something, because a yes to one thing is a no to something else. Mm-hmm, and so there, of course, is that fear. But then, yeah, it's the fear of missing out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to miss out on this opportunity, this opportunity, this opportunity, which ultimately comes back down to of, I've just reduced my life to a series of getting as much pleasure as I can, mm-hmm, or as many opportunities and experiences as I can.
Well, because what if you do miss out on something?
You will
like,
miss out
like,
on
exactly,
something.
Exactly, you will. But like, ask yourself that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, so what?
So what?
Okay, so I don't want to miss out on something. Oh, but I did. So what?
Yeah.
Like what? Like, is everything over? Like, is it? No, it's okay. Because in making a decision to one thing, you're, by the nature of making a decision, you're not making another decision.
What do you think it is that orients us toward that?
Orientate
toward wanting to hang on, wanting to accumulate, wanting to hold ourselves in the potential.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think part of it you talk about a lot, Aaron, of the lack, like the I think there's a fear that like I might miss the boat, right? Like there's a fear that I might be left out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like a woundedness that's just like permeating the culture or something, but I do like, I
typically,
but I do, I feel that. I think I feel that even in me though, like anytime that I'm in a space and I want to, I don't know, receive like a compliment, or if I want to like have this particular role, or I want to give this particular talk, it's often from this place of like, well, because if I don't do that, I won't get something out of it. And then I might be overlooked or I might be forgotten or I might be, I don't know, left out there. I don't know. I feel something there. And I know that, you talk about that a bit, Aaron, just in that, like that identity of like, I actually already have everything I need that I don't need to attain to become the identity that I've been created to be. But I don't know. There's something in that.
Or what if as human beings, if we're made to be gift, you know, that a diabolical work of the enemy would be to speak directly against our identity into saying like, just hold on,
yeah,
you know, just hold on. There's going to be a better time.
Yeah.
Just hold on.
Don't pour out.
You're going to be able to give, you're going to be able to fulfill your identity better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
If you just wait.
Yeah.
And then there's all those potentials are, oh yeah, I don't have to give yet. Cause I'm going to give in the future.
Yeah. Well, and I can give more in the future if I attain a lot now.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's almost like it's twisted, but it's like, well, if I gather a lot of things now, you'll hear this a lot. Like, well, when I'm rich, I'll give.
Yeah.
Right. Or like, I guess that's the financial side. Or like when I get past my college age and past kids, then I'll have time to give.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, if you don't start giving time now, you're never going to give time. Right. Yeah. If you don't start giving financially now, you're never going to give.
When you asked why, Aaron, I was thinking of just in a culture that's so hungry, you have a hard time savoring once you get a bite. And so it's almost like, I think like when I'm really, really hungry, I don't like take, I don't savor the food. I just shove it down. And my wife will be like, Dan, why are you like, stop what you're doing right now. You're just a vacuum.
You're scaring the kids. You haven't made eye contact with anyone.
Because you get so hungry that you're just like, oh, but like when you're not hungry, you sit down, you get a cheese tray, you get a glass of wine, and you just like savor every like little taste of cheese and every little sip of wine. And I think the culture has gotten so hungry. That there isn't a savoring. And so like unfolding and diving deep into one relationship is actually hard because we're so hungry and we're so starved for affection. We just are like, oh, I gotta go here to get affection and affirmation.
Yeah.
As opposed to just savoring the depth of the one or savoring the depth of the one experience and like the all in commitment to this. Like instead we're like, well, I'm so hungry to feel like I'm worthy. So I'm going to go all over the place. And I think that hunger is just breaking.
Yeah.
Us.
Well, and back to the principle of like self gift, right? Like I think there's also this, this like misunderstanding that like there's one right place for me to give my gift. And it almost like it stops you in your tracks. Like the reason I admire the missionaries that say, yes, they go through it for 2 years. It's like you committed to something. And yes, you could have committed to so many other things, but just the fact that you actually said, you know what, I'm going to commit to something for 2 years is just so like countercultural. And I think it's because there's this, I don't know where it comes from, but there's this thought that like, there's this one right thing to give to. Right. Like, and I see this in a lot of the guys that I walk with in their like vocational pursuit. Yep. It's like, well, if it's not the right gal or if it's not the right religious order, then I should just not move. I'll wait for the Lord to give absolute clarity that it's the absolute right thing or the absolute right person. And it's like, well, that's never going to come. Yeah. Like it's at least never going to come until you actually make an actionable step towards something. Yeah. Like in almost this, overly controlling way of trying to get to the one thing, we miss all the other things that we could give to.
That's beautiful. When we speak about the charisms, oftentimes we'll say that, you know, that a gift is actually activated in a person in the act of giving, like that in the act of, we call it an activation, right? You even see in the ministry of Jesus, like Jesus healed, you know, the man who was lame on the ground on his mat. And he didn't kneel down to check in and say, hey, you feeling healed yet?
Yeah, like, right.
He said, get up, like stand up, pick up your mat and walk. He repeats this many times in the way that he activates healing in us. It would stand to be reasoned that if the man didn't do it, he didn't put his, you know, put his faith in the word of the Lord and stand up, that the healing, like the standing was a part of the healing.
Yeah. He had to get up in order to be healed.
That our activation of commitment is a part of stepping into our identity. You know, no, you're not called to be married until you propose, right? That's the moment where guess what? You're called, right? You're not called to be a priest until you stand before a bishop and you're ordained. Otherwise, you know, there's no such thing as a potential priest, a potential husband, a potential wife, that are, you know, there's a truth that's buried so deep in us that we can't run away from it as much as we might try.
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, I think you using analogies of a vocation are so much better than the analogies of a 2-year mission program, because a 2-year mission program is a 2-year commitment, but the vocation of Christianity it's a lifelong vocation. Yeah. So there is no, I can't be totally given for 2 years, right? It's like, I'm being called to be totally given, whether I join the Damascus Missionary Program or I'm working at Kohl's, right? Like,
well,
no,
hopefully
matter
that
what,
prepares you, whatever you're doing there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like that as a Christian, I have the orientation and the call to live the life of Jesus in the world. Mm-hmm. And the life of Jesus is nothing but total self-gift. And the whole, like, I mean, Jesus is like, without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Mm-hmm. And so it's, to realize, oh my gosh, like, yeah, I had nothing to do with my own salvation. Like, mm-hmm. truly, I have received nothing. And so, but when I lack the faith in that, like mm-hmm. when I lack the faith in the supernatural mystery of baptism, when I lack the faith in mm-hmm. the eternal delight of heaven, I I do end up living in this paradigm mm-hmm. of, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, my 80 years here are all I have. I need to experience what I want to experience now. And mm-hmm. and it brings us inward as opposed to that redefined humanity through Christianity, which is oriented outward.
You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and right here in Central Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to the whole version of today's show at www.ewtn.com/radio/podcasts, or check us out on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We'll be right back with this episode after a short break.
EWTN has just increased my faith so much. I am a cradle Catholic, and I thought I knew my faith very well. But when Mother Angelica passed away and it was so much in the news, I learned all about EWTN and started listening all the time. And my eyes have been opened to my faith so much.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God. Divine Intimacy Radio.
The greatest joy in my life is helping others to come to know Christ more fully. And there's no better light on this path, the path to deep union with God, than the wisdom of the saints. Talking about this daily on EWTN Radio is one of the great joys of my life.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and right here in Central Ohio on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
Yeah, well, and in like in those examples too, I think that's our hope for the missionary program here, right? Is that it would teach you what it means to give a gift for a time, mm-hmm, yeah. right? Because you can never give a lifelong gift if you don't give a one-day gift.
Yep.
And you can never give a one-day gift if you don't give a one-hour gift, right? And you can't give a one-hour gift if you don't give a one-minute gift, right? Like, we actually yes. teach ourselves over time what it means yep. to give. And we have to give, especially for us in the church, and I know that's what we're kind of like centering around here, is self-gift and the need the church has in our generation now yeah. for people to give themselves. Like, I think it's also really hard to give what matters. Mm. And time really matters. Like, I yeah. like that we're using time as an example because we really prioritize time. Like, I'm not so sure if you offered someone towards the end of their life an extra couple hours to live or an extra couple $1 million that they would choose the extra couple $1 million. Like, we value time a lot. And I was actually on a mission trip, and we've talked about this a little bit before on the show, but it always comes back to me. I was on a trip to Trenton, New Jersey. It's, I think, the third most dangerous city in the country or something like that. And it was a sweet mission trip. I don't actually know where Portsmouth ranks on it, but
Brad is from Portsmouth, if you didn't know.
I am from Portsmouth, yeah. Ohio, born and raised.
We have to do shout outs.
We do have to do shout outs, but yeah, I was like, I don't even remember all my day-to-day entailed there, but I was writing like job applications and resumes for previously incarcerated people, and it was amazing. Like, I got so much life from it, and I went back to this guy who did this like every day, and I was just like loving what I was doing. So I was talking to this guy, and he was like, yeah, I had these other things that I desired to do with my life, but I came here and there was something I felt like the Lord was doing in me while I was doing this for these men and women. And he said something, this line, and it just like, it captures you. He was like, you know, Jesus gave from his sustenance, not just his surplus. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus didn't just give of the extra he had. He gave of what mattered most to him. And I've just always been captured by that. Like, it's not hard to give money when you have a lot laying around. Like, that's why the widow's mite is so powerful, yeah. right? Like, okay, we might say that it is kind of hard, but you can hear what I'm saying. It's like, it's not like the widow's mite that's like, I could use this on my ability to survive, or I could give it to the Lord, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, well, I have a couple things. And again, I'm not like trying to belittle people's generosity at all, but you'll survive no matter what. But when we push ourselves to think, what might it look like for me to give of my sustenance. Like, yeah. I don't even know what that means, you know? And I don't know, that that line just, it blessed me so much.
It's interesting because you wonder, what are the, you could answer this, Brad, but what are the causes for people not giving themselves to a missionary program right now? Mm-hmm. It's probably the same causes of why people don't give themselves to the church or the Lord's mission in general in their life. Like that fear of time, right? Like, I don't want to give 2 years away. Well, like, and that's like, why am I not giving more? Oh, I just don't have time to give more, right? Or the fear of like not being successful. Like, oh shoot, I don't want to pass up this opportunity. Yeah. Why are people not totally given to the Lord right now? Well, because I got to walk up the chain and the fear of finances, right? Like all of these, the same fears that hold us back from saying yes to serving at Damascus are ultimately rooted in the same exact fears as why people aren't serving the Lord in general, right?
Yep.
And it's not, it's probably if your heart isn't oriented towards like doing whatever God asks you to do, you're not going to ever do what you're called to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's usually fear of approval and fear of providence.
Yeah.
That like, I'm not sure that if I make this decision, it'll be approved of by those I love.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge fear, right? And then the second fear, I'm not sure that if I make this decision, it'll actually provide for me what I need.
Yeah.
Right? And like,
and those are the two, I mean, just take those two fears and apply it to your life, no matter who you are, and ask, am I not doing something God's asking me to do because of one of those two fears?
Yeah.
Because the fear of approval, I'm afraid people at work aren't going to accept me.
Yes,
right?
For sure.
I'm afraid that my boss or my family is not going to welcome this change in my life.
Yep. That's definitely real. That's definitely real.
And both of those, as I wrote those down, those really struck me. You know, both of those speak directly to a core identity of who we are as Christian, right?
Yeah.
That the reason we fear losing those things is because we've placed the value in those things apart from the Lord, who has to be the source.
Yeah. Who is our approval, right? And who is our providence.
Yes.
You know, if you hear the voice of the Father saying, "Behold my beloved Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased," like nothing that Brad or Dan say about me is going to matter much.
Yeah.
Does that mean I can call you a turd?
Yeah, you could. Sure.
You just did. I just wanted
to see what would happen if I said that.
Because you didn't speak identity in my life, and therefore you can't take it away.
Exactly.
And in the same way, you know, I think when it comes to providence, and I mean, that's a tough one. I'm preaching to myself in this.
Yes,
like,
it is.
You've got to learn this lesson every day that, okay, I participate with the Lord in seeing his vision for my life come into being.
Yep.
There's nothing that I'm earning apart from his desire to give it away.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, the widow's mite just actually blows my mind, because it's like you have a situation where it's like, okay, I'm going to give, and I may not have the resources to survive when I give this. And and so to give to the point where you're like, I am trusting you, Lord, with my resources is in, and she's a widow, right? So assumingly she has no one to provide for her out, but does she have children? Mm-hmm. We don't know, you know, like, and the idea, like I always picture with the widow's mite, some like tiny old lady that's die anyway. What if she was just a young woman with children, right?
That,
which is probably more like
and was just,
realistic of that time period. And the idea of, okay, how do we discern like stewardship and prudence in this total self-gift?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the Lord, is that he's never going to ask us to do something that isn't best for us. Mm-hmm. And so when we're walking with him and in his voice, when he says to do something, we can obediently follow and trust him and know that it's what's best for us.
Yeah.
And there's probably prudence and stewardship where the Lord sometimes isn't placing it on your heart to give in that moment in that way. And in those times, you hold back to give somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's like when I always struggle with like time here at Damascus, right? Because I want to be totally given to the mission of Damascus, but the mission of Damascus has to also be held in balance with the mission of my children.
Yeah,
And so it's not like I'm not going to pour out here at Damascus so that I can be myself and with me, because I've given enough over here. It's no, I'm not pouring out here at Damascus right now in this way so that I can pour out in my to my children in this way.
Yeah.
And there's that need of, okay, discern where do I pour out and how do I pour out?
Yeah, well, even think like I've thought about just the widow's mite, just I guess as like a last comment on that is like,
what if I want another comment on that? Why is this for me, the last
for
comment?
Me, sorry, for me, because I just feel like I've brought up the widow's mite like before a couple times, but I don't know. There is like, she could have had like the best excuse,
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like if the Lord was inviting her to do that, like think she would have just told someone like, yeah, I could have given this to the Lord, but he knew that I really needed it.
He always, right? he always leaves a back door open.
Yeah, right, you know? Right. Yes.
Take care of yourself. Unless you're called to be a martyr.
Right. But it was just like, I don't know, that's powerful. But like, think about even within the realm of self-gift. Like, why does the church need people that are totally given in this season? Because that's what God has always been, mm-hmm. right? Like, God is the definition of self-gift. Like, when we look at the story of creation and the love of God spilling onto the canvas of creation, right? Because, like, we read in...
Trinity.
Yes, or the Trinity, right? The mutual exchange of love. Before creation even, like, blossoms out of the Trinity. Like, I love the first paragraph of the Catechism. God infinitely blessed and perfect in himself. So he was doing, he's doing pretty okay. Like, the Trinity, they're doing all right, infinitely blessed, but in a plan perfect. Of sheer goodness. Yeah. Created man to share in his own blessed life. Well, what's his blessed life? Gift. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, he created man to create, right? Yeah. Like to spill our love, to spill onto the canvas of creation. Think about it in the context of priests with a congregation. Think about it in the context of husband and wife and the children that come forth from that. Like, God has always desired us to share in his own blessed life, which by definition is gift.
Yeah.
And yet, to Aaron's point, I think the biggest temptation for us is to do anything but give so that we can, I don't know, somehow have more to give later or, I don't know, something, so attain something that then proves something to those around us and to ourselves. I don't know.
Well, I guess this maybe get us off topic, but it's the, what I keep pondering, and this is a theological question, I don't have the answer to it yet, but to what extent am I as a husband and father called to care for my family only versus care for my family and everything else, right? That it's this, what is the obligation to, I think it's really with where I'm thinking is like finances, where so often it's this idea of, well, I gotta leave my inheritance to my children. But it's like, well, is like, where did that mindset come from? Where it's like, well, how can I, instead of just with my time, my talent, my treasure, how can I give it over abundantly outside of just the home? And I don't know if that's coming out right. I think what I'm trying to say is we've conditioned our gift to be even inward facing as opposed to outward facing, and seeing like, no, I have my family. They're the ones who are doing service with me. They're not my only thing that I serve. They're the ones who I get to do service with.
Yes, right.
Shout out to another great podcast I've been listening to. It's called the New Polity Podcast out of Steubenville. And they did a series on finance recently, and it was talking about inheritance and how oftentimes, you know, our financial investment that we intend to build up and to accumulate for the sake of giving it away, it becomes a master to us. To the point where like that master-slave relationship that I have with my finance so that I might then give it to my children so that it could then become their master.
Yeah, like, and then they could then, because the idea is, well, I'll give it to them so they can give it away.
Yeah, I mean, that's never what happens. You know, that I want to jump back to a thought we were having a moment ago that like, building a habit of giving a gift, that's the inheritance that we need to pass on to our children. It's coming into a place of realizing like there is no greater legacy that I could leave to my sons and daughters but to teach and to demonstrate to them and to build that habit from an early age, from childhood, of what it means to give your life away.
Yeah, to be poured out.
Like and I'm not saying that the only way that can happen is by Dan not going home. You know, on Thursday night.
That would be
a terrible thing.
Neglecting them.
Well, we can't default to extremes.
I would love to hear your thoughts on that, Aaron, because it's like, okay, so then when you said that initially, I'm like, yes, but then I'm also like, wait a second, I'm hearing kids that I've talked to in the past who are like, well, I don't believe in Jesus because my parents are always gone at church doing stuff. And so
I don't think I have it figured out yet at all. I just had a great experience just this weekend with two of my kids. You know, so often, you know, we have to work really hard on building habits of like saying yes to acts of service around our home.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's why you assign chores, right? Mm-hmm. That's why you what's it called? An allowance, because you're trying to build habits of realizing like this is the right thing to do, therefore I have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
we had a couple weddings here over the past few weeks at Damascus, mm-hmm. and we had a good reason, in accordance with our local fire codes, to have some cleanup done by this morning, mm-hmm. and it didn't get done over the course of the weekend. So here we are, like the last people on campus, and yeah. I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can wait until after bedtime today, or I can invite my kids like into a mission of service. So
yeah,
I offered them an opportunity, thinking they're going to bellyache and this is going to be miserable. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, Leah and Diggory like get up on this 16-foot ladder because it's the greatest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. They spent like 4.5 hours on Saturday, you know, tearing down decorations and wiping off vents in the auditorium and the dining hall. And it was just such an indicator to me of like, this is where service and adventure align, mm-hmm. to the point where, mm-hmm. they can see the stuff that dad does isn't just taking away from the family. It's actually an opportunity for us to do it together.
Yeah. And to invest with him in something.
You know, I think of when we were at St. Agatha, Dan, there were a number of families who I was always so moved by, who consistently made a habit of, like, as a family, serving at a soup kitchen together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, like, that's neat and that's cute, but like, it doesn't matter what they're doing. It's that they're building a habit of realizing that mission has to be accomplished hand in hand.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, no, I love that. Those are such good examples. And I think that we run the risk. I remember I was talking to a family one time, and the mom was like, I don't know what to do. She started to break down the schedule of the family. And mm-hmm. on Sunday night, dad was at this event at the church. Monday mm-hmm. night, the daughter was at this event at the church. Tuesday night, the middle schoolers were at this event at the church. Wednesday night, there was choir at the church, and mm-hmm. she was there. And she's like, literally 6 days a week, we're at church, but we're not together as family. And mm-hmm. I think that is a possibility that, like, you're mm-hmm. especially with like the popularity of men's ministry and women's ministry, all super, super good. Yeah. But mm-hmm. there's the possibility that I'm on a mission that's exclusive of my spouse, mm-hmm. or I'm on a mission that's exclusive of my children. And then what happens is, well, because I'm living this awesome missional life over here, my spouse is feeling left out.
Sure. Yeah. I do worry about the other side though, too, of that, because I
where I don't have anything.
Well, where I'm just like, the good becomes the enemy of the great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm coming in so low on this because I don't have it figured out at all, but I know that something pulls in me that I don't like when someone says my mission is totally my family.
Oh no, I wasn't saying that.
No, I'm not. I guess I'm using an extreme to just make a point. I'm not saying that's what you're saying.
You said that.
No, but like, do you see what I'm saying? Like whenever I hear that, and I do hear that in the church.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think our church has become incredibly vocation centered and not as much Jesus centered. I really do. I think we can speak.
Be careful. I think vocation is the wrong word. Vocation.
Is that right?
Comfort centered.
Yeah, sure. But I even would say that. But I guess.
Vocations to die.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed. Rightly ordered. But I would even say though that like, but even absent a vocation of priesthood or married life, I have everything I've ever needed for salvation right now.
Yeah.
Because vocation primarily is a calling for me to encounter Jesus in a very unique way to me, so that I could be closer to Him. But He should always be the end. Yep. If He's the means by which I achieve the end of my vocation, I'm worshiping mm-hmm. myself mm-hmm. because I'm the end. And that's the big fear I have. And again, I'm coming in low because I know it pushes buttons. And like you said, like there's going to be people frustrated that I'm even using vocation in that context because far be it from us to challenge a vocation-centered reality. But I do think that we actually have to look at ourselves and ask, am I pursuing vocation for Jesus, or am I pursuing Jesus for vocation? Because one way is right and one way is not.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of family. And like, I love Nina, and being married the last 2 years has been such a gift, and it's blessed me immeasurably.
2 years.
But the idea, right. There's like so many out there that are like, I've been married 40 years and what's he talking about? But like, I do think there's something to this, like this tension that we're talking about, that like, I absolutely need to have time with my spouse and my kids.
Yeah.
But if that's the only place that I'm serving for the duration of my time here, I just think that something's falling short.
Well, it's just totally given. So there may be the married situation where I'm totally given because of a special need that I have in the family situation.
Yeah, sure.
Where
sure,
I have no, sure. I have no,
I don't have margins.
I don't have margins because the need in the family requires that.
Yeah.
But it's sustenance or surplus, right? And yeah, so like, am I actually, am I totally given that I'm giving out my sustenance? So does it, because if part of my need to be with the family all the time is just a need for us to constantly go from one leisure to another leisure to another leisure, then that's silly, right?
Well, because I'm not really being self-gift. It's the comfort point Aaron was making when he was just like, I don't know if vocation, because I do think that is the principle there, is that like, it's almost like vocation will be a safe haven for my comfort, like where I know that they'll love me because they're with me. But again, like vocation outward, to both of your points, is so beautiful. It's like,
of course,
like let's go die together. Like, let's go give in a way that's from our sustenance together. Like there's nothing more admirable. There's nothing more admirable.
I think that, I think we've mentioned it on the show before, but that seems to be the prevailing wisdom, which again, I believe is fundamentally diabolical, right? Mm-hmm. That like, you know, yes, you're called to mission. Yes, your marriage is called to be a sacramental vocation to the world. But, you know, take these first couple of years to just work on yourself, to get comfortable, to learn who each other are.
And then when you have your first little one, you won't have that time for very long. So focus in on yourselves. Yep. And then the second one, focus in on yourself.
It's just an invitation to a mess, right? It's an invitation to building a lifestyle that's me-centered.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's not to say that Damascus is like the alternative. No.
It is my fear though.
Or that the parish is the alternative.
No, sure.
Or that we're doing a great job at it. It's just the measuring stick is not Aaron, it's not Brad, it's not Dan. The measuring stick is
Jesus.
Praise
God for that.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the goal of Christianity is to conform myself to the life of Jesus. And so am I living Jesus's life here on earth? And have I evaluated the gospels to say, what does it look like to live this gospel reality in the context of the modern world and my current culture?
That's actually really good, because Jesus spent time with Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
Was Jesus' entire life just with Mary and Joseph? No. Was Jesus' entire life just with the apostles? No. Was Jesus' entire life just in the Jewish education system?
Well, that's
system?
What's kind of cool about Jesus. Like in the Gospels, it's like he's always on mission, but he's always with people. Like it's like he's always in relationship, and at the same time, he's always like
he's
doing
living
something
mission
to
from relationship.
Someone.
It's what it's exactly. I think it's to Aaron's point. Like he's living out with those he loves the mission that he knows his Father's calling him to.
Yeah,
and like that is by its definition vocation. That I am like listening to the Father and living out what he's asking of me with those around me who I've committed to out of love.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know about you guys, but when it, like, as I think to my experience and times when I've been in that moment, those are the times when I'm having the most fun.
Yeah.
Those are the times when I'm experiencing adventure, right? Because that's the way life's meant to be lived. Like even when I think of my most blessed and fulfilling moments of recreation, like they're restorative because they're oriented toward mission.
Yeah.
Dan and I joke a lot that like times of vacation are, you know, ultimately end up not being fulfilling to the point where like I'm ready to get back to work.
Yeah.
Why?
Sure.
Because the heart's not made to draw in.
Right.
Like the heart is made to be given away. Mm-hmm. It's if we believe that we're made in the image and likeness of God, then this is the only way that we're going to find fulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and right here in Central Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to the whole version of today's show at www.ewtn.com/radio/podcasts. Or check us out on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We'll be right back with this episode after a short break.
St. Hildegard of Bingen was a mystic, an abbess, a botanist, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Hildegard had her first visions at the age of 3, which she called the shade of the living light. She later wrote about them in works declared by St. Bernard of Clairvaux to be from God. Pope Benedict XVI agreed when he named her only one of 4 Doctors of the Church who are women in 2012.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
How are you listening to EWTN Radio right now? Have you ever wished you could listen on a local radio station? Maybe our Lord is speaking to your heart to help make that happen. Don't let a lack of experience hold you back. Find out how you can help start a Catholic radio station where you live. Powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming. Email Steve at this address, radio@EWTN.com.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and right here in Central Ohio on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
A spiritual director of mine once said, like, what if we looked at death as it's my final gift. That, like, what if I live my life in such a way that is so outward focused that death is my final gift? I'm totally spent now. Yeah. And from that, I actually received the greatest reward. And I remember him telling me that. This was shortly into my, like, conversion in college. And I remember just going, I don't know what that means, but I think it's right. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know what that means, but I think it's right. Like, I lived my whole life so outwardly poured that when I got to the end and I actually had very little to pour out left and I poured out the very last part, it was my final gift. Like, I mean, it's obviously Christocentric. We can look at it on the cross, like, but I don't know the way he said that. And it was so just passing when he said it.
And to condition yourself to make that your nightly gift as well. That, like, I lay down in bed, I'm like,
that's really good.
Wow. This was a day where I just feel spent.
Yeah.
And, like, I poured myself out today for others.
Yeah. Well, then the to-do list isn't going to be done.
No.
And you will not have spent as much time with your wife as you should have. And you will not have spent as much time with your kids as you should have.
Yeah.
And you will not have loved the Lord as you should have. And you will not have loved those around you as you should have. But as long as you go there and you've put it all into the Lord's hands and said, Lord, it's yours. And every day returned back to that promise. Like, that's where we have to trust the mercy piece, right? Like, I don't want to lower the bar. Yeah, I just want to trust his mercy.
And to balance whatever we're talking about here with the notion of rest as well. Like, real rest in Christ Jesus and prayer.
Sure.
Like, that idea of the, I'm gonna give time to pour myself out, and then I'm also going to just sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from him. And which ultimately is just this, like, this ability. It's like, sometimes I feel like, it's like, okay, I'm here at the feet of Jesus right now to be filled up because I've poured out so much, right? And it's in those moments where I've poured out so much that the intimacy and the rest is so much richer.
Yeah.
And versus, like, the times where I'm not going very hard and I go to him, I'm like, all right, well, I'm like, you were kind of bored during prayer, right? And so there's something so valuable of, like, being the beggar that falls before the Lord and, like, hey, like, fill me up, please.
Yeah, no, that's good. What's your guys, how do you, I'm actually asking this as much for me as anything, but like, rest is another thing I struggle with. It's a tension point for me because I think it's another area where comfort's so obviously available and it could be excused as rest, right? And I notice a pattern in my life. These areas where you could say you could claim, like, a lack of virtue under a virtue, you know, it's like, well, I'm resting, but actually I'm just really wanting comfort right now. Or I'm focusing on my family, but really I'm just not wanting to stretch myself right now. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I know that all of us as humans experience that sometimes we can put forward a face that's not actually what our heart is. Like, how do you guys, like, I don't know. How do you guys, determine whether or not, like, what you're seeking is actual rest or if it's just a comfort that you're desiring in a moment, right? Like, I don't know if there's, like, any wisdom you have there, or maybe you guys are wrestling with that same thing, but I wonder that sometimes. It's like, because it almost becomes so cliche. It's like, well, are you resting enough in ministry? It's like, man, I don't want to hear another person give me a lecture on don't burn out in ministry. I want to actually learn what you're trying to say when you say rest.
I think what's the fruit of the time? So, like, when I rest, the fruit is an explosive amount of missional ideas that, like, when I'm resting with the Lord, like, I am being refreshed and I have a creativity that is, that is the real me, yeah. right? That I come alive in that versus when I'm not resting with the Lord and I'm just like consuming like mm-hmm. stuff on my phone, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. I get irritable. Yeah. Like yeah. it's like the kids come in. I'm like, quiet down. Yeah, it's like, wait, frantic. why am I telling you to quiet down? Like goof off and have fun. Your kids.
Are you
like,
saying judge a tree by its fruits? Is that what you're?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Your rest by its fruits. Yeah. I think I think it's so funny. People who are like, you come home from vacation and you're exhausted. What were you doing on vacation? That like I'm always like, yeah, you know, yeah, like yeah, I want like vacations to be more restful. Like, so sure. they're actually,
well, that's the point of them, right? Yeah. But you know, that's good. What do you think?
I think the fruit word is really good for me. Mm-hmm. The fruit that I see from my times of rest is really a tremendous peace and joy. Mm-hmm. And I think the oppositional vice is a focus on busyness and anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wrote it down just a moment ago. Like if we're looking to build habits of self gift mm-hmm. and of effective rest, like mm-hmm. that getting rid of the idea that I need to consume that last bit of the news before I close my eyes and go to bed. Like that's ridiculous. I think in my life consistently over the last few years, some of the most beautiful moments of prayer, encounter, and rest mm-hmm. have been like in the 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes of my day when I'm lying in bed mm-hmm. and just closing my eyes and being like, okay, Jesus, can we hang out right now? Like, can we have a conversation right now? And it's always marked by like just an overwhelming and authentic joy of being able to hear his voice, mm-hmm. Being able to speak to him and sense his presence so near. And it's not motivated toward like, hey, let's go up on stage and give a great talk. Or let's go do some great mission. It's just like, hey, let's enjoy one another's presence in a way that's really meaningful and affirming.
Yeah. And I think like, it's just so what you guys are saying just aligns so much, because I think in the last like year or so with the Lord's just been showing me the areas where there's actually self-gift in rest sometimes for someone like me, because I always want to be doing something outward. Yeah. Right. But there's actually a way that the Lord's teaching me self-gift of actually like committing to something with Nina and staying true to it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and I know that there's other people that are probably the exact opposite. They make a commitment to their spouse and they never break it ever. And they're rarely out on mission or something like, but that's not where I find my own vices to be. But I'm always like the busy, the on to the next thing. And I feel like the Lord has been showing me like in a very intentional way, the ways that I can be self-gift when I'm present, even at this podcast with you two, right? Like when I'm actually like engaging what we're saying and like as really trying to learn.
What am I going to say next?
Exactly. No, seriously. Or like, and same thing with like the missionaries, when we like, they just need me to take a walk with them and listen. And like, there's so many things I can be doing in that time, but there's an element of self-gift in that.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And so again, I think we've hinted at it a few times, but I think the idea of being totally given is something that really intrigues me, because I think when I get to the end of my life, I don't want to have looked back and be partially given.
Yeah.
Because to be partially given means to be given to nothing at all. You know, like I want to be Jesus totally given. Yeah. Right.
Lukewarm.
Yeah. But I want to be fully given again. Like we can bring back in vocation. Like I want to be fully given to my vocation because I want to be fully given to Jesus who called me to that.
We got a few minutes left. I wonder, you know, we've talked a lot about hurdles and maybe some strategies toward adopting a life that's fully given. I wonder if we could maybe just kind of conclude our thoughts today, mm-hmm. Celebrating some victories that we've seen in like lives transformed as they've been given away. Mm-hmm. I was just, Brad, you were sharing at the start of the show that mm-hmm. we just finished up a missionary year. And, I'm sure that this would come as no surprise to our missionaries, a couple of whom are sitting in the studio today, mm-hmm. but, that, you know, over the course of a year of work and organization, mm-hmm. a lot of my mind is focused on like solving the issues, right? Solving this concern about the community or this concern about the culture. And, you know, I do sometimes fall into the temptation of walking into, or I guess looking afar at our missionary community and wondering like, what are the problems and how can I solve them?
Yeah.
And I was really moved, just a couple of weeks ago, I walked into the room and was looking at our second year missionaries and was just overcome with this amazing like sense of just joy and pride.
Yeah, yep,
and like these men and women are awesome.
They did.
Like these guys are modeling like a life that's been offered on the altar of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And of course, for them, for me, for you guys, like there's no human heart that's ever been given away that aside from the heart of Jesus and Mary, that doesn't have stuff attached, right? Yeah. Every single one of us has stuff attached, but to see a person whose passion has been aligned with a gift of themselves, mm-hmm. it's just inspiring.
Yeah. It is inspiring. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. One, like a friend of mine who I'm still in small group with here in Columbus, he was a mission leader with SPO, St. Paul's Outreach when I was at Ohio State. And, I was always so blown away from the fact that like, there were so many things that he could do with his life. Like just an incredibly charismatic guy, super followable, just like, and he decided that he would be persistent with guys like me who would sleep through their alarms and not listen to what he was saying at first and would fail to return his phone calls, but he would stay consistent. And I think that when I reflect on his life, I just reflect on a life that that gave something it didn't have to give, and it produced fruit that wouldn't have been there without it, you mm-hmm. know? And so like to your point, Aaron, there is something about reflecting on just those people in our lives. I mean, I'm sure like some of us have stories about our parents and the ways that they gave in incredible ways. And maybe our priest at our parish, or like a coach or a mentor that we had that gave to us in a particular way. And when I think about just the life now, like what's really fruitful about that life is now I've been in small group with him for 3 years and we're running alongside each other. Yeah. And what's been so beautiful about that is like, without you being totally given then, I'm not sure I'd be totally given now. Yeah. And so there is just this, I think this reward that happens when we give and we see the multiplication, then like begin to be right beside us. And yeah. I think I see that with the missionaries too, of like, oh my goodness, you're teaching me just as much as I'm teaching you. And there's something about giving that begets giving, you know?
For me, I was at our missionary graduation a few weeks back, and I was struck with the fact that we're sending off some all-stars. Like, we have some giants that are leaving and going to start ministries. And I was like, wow, like, and I wasn't thinking about like, wow, I did this that got them there. But I actually went backwards and I started to think about the guys who founded Net Ministries, because I was a missionary with Net, and Net was so pivotal in my own life. And I was like, wow, their yes led to my yes, which led to this next yes, which is going to launch into greater mission. And just started to see like almost the ripple effect of just this giant, like, and then even just thinking about, man, who evangelized Mark Burcham, who started Net? Like, who is that guy? I don't even know his name, but someone like what gave their life so that he would give his life.
Yeah.
And then because he gave his life, I was able to give my life. Mm-hmm. And because I was able to give my life, they were able to give their life. And just the impact of that was like really, really staggering profound to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just giving gratitude to this nameless, faceless person who had gave their life to evangelize the one who evangelized me.
Yeah.
And then just kind of taking it even on a different level, just that my youngest Liliana received First Communion this week. And it was like, it was like I was just like lost in her face the whole weekend of just like this idea of like just that totally given aspect of parenthood, and watching my wife during the offertory, like whisper words, giving the final prep to Liliana before she goes up to receive Jesus. And I was just like, so like, oh man, like, Amber's life is just totally given to forming Liliana and this like crazy little 8-year-old who probably doesn't really understand the theology of the mass all that much, even though we've tried to drill it into her. And still it's like, is she going to remember to bow? Is she going to remember to make the sign of the cross? Like, who knows? But just this like watching Amber like bend over and like whisper into Liliana's ear right before receiving was just like, like, okay, mom's giving that last, like, she's given all of these 8 years to get her to the place where she's receiving Jesus. And just that there was so much beauty in that moment of seeing like, wow, like, your yes, Amber, is so tiny and mm-hmm. yes, so significant.
Yeah. And before we close, I think, in response that we could give ourselves to those around us and to the church so that the church can influence the world and we can bring all people back to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the gift that it is to be called Christian, to be called your sons and daughters. And we give ourselves again to you here this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for joining us for this episode. Woo! Again, this is Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. My name's Brad. I'm here with Dan and Aaron. And if you like this episode, feel free to share it with someone who would be blessed by it. We'd be honored if you would subscribe, like, all of that good stuff, because that gets this message out to more people so we can have more self-gifts in the world, which our church needs and we know our world needs. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys next time. God bless.
Friends, thanks for listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. You can listen to the whole version of today's show by searching for Beyond Damascus on YouTube or your favorite podcast app.